Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I will read to you three passages of Scripture from the book of Acts from three different chapters, Acts 8, Acts 16, and Acts 18. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. In each of these three passages, there is the emphasis upon the necessity of faith for salvation. These people heard, and they believed the message that they were taught, and the message contained what they had to believe about Christ. Nothing is plainer in the Bible than the necessity to believe to be saved. Hebrews 11:6, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now while these and other passages teach faith for salvation, neither these nor any other passage teaches salvation by faith alone, or faith only. That doctrine is an addition by some religious teachers that God never revealed. But Scripture does teach faith, and that it makes a difference what a person believes. Everybody believes something. But to be saved from the wages of sin, we must believe something specifically. In what are we to believe? More properly, in whom are we to believe? The Bible teaches we are to believe in Jesus Christ. Now this is a good and all-inclusive answer when we understand what it includes. But just to leave it at that does not tell what the Bible teaches regarding the faith that we must have. We must not be content with something less than the specific teaching of the Word of God. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Just what is it concerning Jesus that we are to believe? By studying the sermons preached and recorded in the Bible, considering the prophecies about him and the apostolic statements, as well as examples of conversion, we learn what it is that we must believe regarding Jesus. When a person truly believes what the Scripture teaches, he should have no hesitancy to do what the Scripture commands. His reluctance or refusal to obey is evidence that he really does not yet accept the scriptural testimony about Jesus Christ. We must believe that he is the Son of God. Matthew 16:16, Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew 3 and verse 17, the Father said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In Luke 22 and verse 70, Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. This was the Lord's affirmation of his identity as the Son of God. Acts 8 and verse 37 tells us the confession the man of Ethiopia made regarding Christ. And in John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Friend, can there be any question in the mind of any honest Bible reader as to the identity of Jesus as far as biblical revelation is concerned? Those who knew him, his own witness, the words of the Father, the early Christians, they all say the same thing. But to accept Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, demands acceptance of other significant facts about him. For instance, we must believe that Christ is the Savior and that there is no other Savior. In John 14 and verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men, whereby we must be saved. John 1 and verse 29 said, Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, with reference to Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 teaches that he came into the world to save sinners. This was his mission. He said he came to seek and to save the lost. Now, we either shall be saved by and through Jesus Christ, or we shall not be saved. His very name, Jesus, means Savior. And believing in him to be the Son of God demands that we believe the record regarding his birth by the Virgin Mary. Matthew 1, 18 through 23 records the fulfillment of the prophecy given in Isaiah 7 and verse 14 of his birth by a virgin. No other one could fulfill such a prophecy. It is most regrettable that there be those who profess to be Christians who deny what the Word of God teaches about his birth. Just why they would believe the Bible when it teaches that he's the Son of God, but then deny the Bible when it teaches about him being born of a virgin is beyond rational explanation. It is intellectual dishonesty. So many in the Protestant world would deny this biblical fact about him being born of the Virgin Mary. But let it be affirmed without any fear whatsoever of successful refutation that nobody can honestly claim to accept the Bible and deny the virgin birth of Christ. It is senseless to claim to believe in the Almighty God and then deny what God has recorded just because it does not happen to accommodate someone's fanciful system of modernistic theory or even one's personal experiences. Since God created the entire universe, who has the authority to claim that he could not provide the birth of his Son in this fashion? And friend, to believe in Christ demands that one believe that he lived, that he taught, that he performed miracles, just as the biblical record affirms. Acts 1 and verse 1, Luke begins, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. In John 2 and verse 23, Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Peter's preaching at the household of Cornelius included how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When Jesus taught, he did not teach as others taught, Matthew 7, 29, because he taught with authority. He was able to teach with authority because he was deity in the flesh. All authority belongs to him, Matthew 28 and verse 18. To believe in Christ requires that we accept his teaching about morality and the proper conduct toward other people, as well as our service to God in worship. Dear friend, surely we recognize it is unreasonable and inconsistent to claim to believe in Christ, but reject his word. Jesus said, John 14, 15, If ye love me, keep my commandments. Luke 6, 46, And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If one does not accept what Christ taught about salvation, and the church, and the judgment, and all other matters that he discussed, how can he sincerely claim that his faith and his confidence and trust resides in Christ? Matthew 7 and verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It matters not what subject may be under consideration. That which Jesus taught, and that which he is authorized to be taught in his name, must be accepted and believed the way he taught it, with the application intended, or one's faith in Christ is suspect, indeed invalid. And we must believe not only that our Lord lived and taught and performed miracles in this life, but that he was eventually arrested and persecuted and carried before a series of trials where justice was mocked, and eventually led to Calvary to be crucified between two thieves as if he was a common criminal. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8, we have a passage that includes these matters along with his burial and resurrection as fundamental facts of the gospel by which we are saved. Luke 23 and verse 46, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Further in the chapter, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, speaking of Joseph of Arimathea, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. That was the teaching of the death and the burial of Christ. And as for his resurrection, "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Now, friend, we either believe these things or we do not. There is no middle ground. We cannot accept part of them and reject another part. It is either all or nothing with respect to the Scriptures. We're not allowed to be what might be called a supermarket kind of faith in the revelation of Christ. That is, we go through the Scripture and take what we wish and discard what we happen not to want. Concerning the Bible and its record of Christ, we're not granted the privilege to just pick and choose. We either choose to believe it all, or we have picked the path of disbelief and damnation to ourselves. Faith in Christ demands that we accept the fact that he established his kingdom, the church, and that he is now reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It demands that we believe that after his ascension, we are assured of his ultimate return, the resurrection of all the dead, and the judgment before God. And to deny any of this is to deny Christ and the role that Scripture has assigned to him. And of no less certainty is the promised return. Acts 1 and verse 11. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." All of these things that we have noted briefly, we must accept as being true. This is what it means to believe in Christ. This is what we must believe about Christ. With inspired testimony before us, given through eyewitnesses, proven and verified by the Word of God, given through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we should have no difficulty in believing, especially when we realize that our eternal salvation or damnation depends upon our response. In Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian believed, he obeyed, being baptized. The same thing was true of the jailer in Philippi, and Lydia, and the Corinthians, and the people of Samaria, and the people on Pentecost, and every account of conversion. Those who received the word were baptized, as on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 41. And it is no different today. One who truly believes, he will believe all that the Scripture reveals about the Christ. And he will obey, being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Galatians 3:27 and Acts 2 and verse 38. Now, knowing what to believe, and in whom we are to believe, and what that belief involves, and what it requires, we have before us the path of salvation. Will it be that each one of us will go that way? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.